This Stu Lectures episode features author, artist and designer James Victori, recorded live at the Global Event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2019.
It is very fitting that I am speaking today because I come from the greatest state in the Union, and back home it is July 4th. It is Independence Day. And in that spirit, I would like to say, fuck Donald Trump. So, we got work to do. By the way, I have 20 minutes to speak. That's tough. So, no laughing and no clapping whatsoever because it cuts into my fucking time. So, let's get to work. Speaking of books, this book, this is the one you should be reading. I'm assuming some of you got it for free in your bags. Do not take advantage of free. It's good shit. It's called Feck Perfection, worst title in the world. Can't say it, can't spell it. I type it wrong every time. So I want to talk to you about this book, and I think the best way to talk about this book is in a story, since we're here at the Do Lectures and it's all about stories. So Feck Perfection is everything. It's everything I have learned from studying, from research, from voluminous reading, from teaching at universities for 25 years. And it's everything that I use in my own life so that I can wake up every morning hungry and horny and willing to make work that matters, right? For example, one idea in the book is just start. Just start. Starting is the hardest part, right? Generally, people start by stopping. For example, you guys. You're here, and you're gonna, like David said, you're gonna take notes, and you're gonna say, oh my God, when I get home, I'm gonna, oh my fuck, my career is gonna, like that. And I'm gonna tell you, no, you're not. Because you're gonna write this shit down, and you're never gonna get around to it. So just fucking start. Also, Mark gave you some rules, but I'm here to say, there ain't no rules. What we do, if you are creative, if you have a creative bone in your body, I don't give a damn what field you're in. If you are creative, there ain't no rules. You know what I do for a living? I make shit up. And people pay me well for it. It's a great gig. It's because I am the makers of manners. Shakespeare, right? I call the shots. I make the rules. There ain't no rules. It's about that inner critic. You know, you think you have haters online. You think your friends and your family are your critics. Your worst critics are these, the invisible bastards in your head. You know, there are friends who I have in my life who I don't see anymore because I can't take it. Constantly calling themselves too fat. Constantly calling out how dumb they are, right? Who doesn't have these inner critics in their lives? My whole existence is dealing with these things, facing them daily, right? Kill the critic. Also, an idea that was important to me is my father, who taught me how to be a carpenter, and he had no skills whatsoever, who taught me everything I know, who taught me discipline and grit and fortitude, and who last year died from 20 years of degenerative Parkinson's disease, never complained a fucking day. Never complained once. He taught me that shit happens. Suffering is a choice. So, bunch of crazy words on the cover, feck and perfection, and I know for a fact that people buy this book because they pick it up because they're like, what the fuck, right? I like that. That's awesome. But the subtitle is Dangerous Ideas on the Business of Life, and that's the most important word. These are dangerous ideas because they're dangerous to your ego. They're dangerous to your sense of self-worth or your lack of worth. They're dangerous to who you hang around with. They're dangerous and a challenge to your lifestyle. And they're dangerous because creativity is dangerous because that's its fucking job. Creativity is dangerous. Creativity is new, and creativity is innovation, and we hate new. And innovation, anything that's truly innovative, signifies the death of what came before, right? So creativity is dangerous. I, as a teacher, especially at university, I don't like creative kids in my class. Do you know why? Because they disrupt. Because that's their fucking job. Creativity is dangerous. So I said I wanted to talk about a story. This is a story. I love anything with rubber tires. Preferably two, right? I have a number of different motorcycles. I have a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and they have their own sets of wheels. We're a wheelie family, right? And I live in a blessed place in Texas where I have an opportunity to ride on a motocross track, out on a mountain about an hour away, and on my own property. Okay? One bike in particular that I like is a trials bike. And it is a funky motorcycle with no seat and a swoop back, right? Super torquey, super strong, extra light. And what this bike allows you to do is climb up and over things you're not supposed to climb up and over. It allows you to ride in places where you're not supposed to ride. By the way, is Claire here? Claire or David? Oh, I could rip this place up. This is the rocks, the stumps out there, pop, 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 and the, oh, God, I'm walking around going, look, I'm looking at lines going, come on. So here's the story. It starts like this. I do not remember the accident. It was December 14th, end of last year, and I was riding on my property. And I remember I was riding in this my favorite spot, and it's this wet, rocky ravine, right? You ride down, and you pop it up, and then you ride down some rocks, and then you come back and fucking blast. So I got this notion in my head, and I was coming up the other side of the hill, and I said, you know, I think I'm done. Let me turn around and go back, have a beer, get some work done. And I don't remember what happened, honestly. I think I blipped, and I didn't cover the clutch or cover the rear brake. I don't remember. But I do explicitly remember a very loud snap. And I think I blacked out, because I woke up in the ravine on my side, just like they do in the movies. You ever see when somebody wakes up from a blackout in the movie, they're just like, it was like that. And I had a couple of realizations. One, the first one was just the pain. I just popped up to my feet, and I grabbed my arm, and I was like, oh, fuck. And the second realization was, I don't have my phone. So my second realization was, you're an asshole. That was not smart. So what I did was I grabbed my arm and I left the bike there, and I realized I had to walk a half a mile to the house, and there was nobody at the house. So I grabbed my arm and I'm walking very slowly to the house, and I'm taking little tiny sips of air so I don't black out. And I remember stopping at one point, and then my brain said, no, you will not get going. Do not stop. And I got to the house, and I called my father-in-law, who smartly called the EMT, and they came and picked me up and took me to the hospital. And in the hospital, they told me that I had broken my clavicle, I had broken all of these ribs, and I separated my lung, right? So the x-rays look like that, basically. The good parts were they serve beer in the hospital, which is cool. I'll just leave that up there for a second. And I married an angel. My wife Laura helps me gain perspective about my life and about work, and swoops in when everything kind of falls to shit. This is interesting. That little thing on my shoulder is actually a tube going into my lung, because my lung was bleeding at the time. Good news is I was home by Christmas Eve. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, so it was super important that I get out of. I was in rehab at that time, and I got out in time. And in case you were wondering, the bike is fine. I think it's supposed to do that. I think they do that. So, listen, like everything in my life, the accident happened for the right reason and at the right time. Like everything in my life, it happened for the right reason and at the right time. My wife reminds me of a mantra that I use often. And whatever situation, I'm terrible at airports. I get nervous at airports. I'm like, I'm gonna miss my flight. Do I have a seat? I have a seat. Do I have a seat? I have a seat. Like, I'm terrible. And she reminds me and helps me with this mantra that says, everything is always working out for me. Right? And the reason that this was at the right time and for the right reason is because I needed a teacher. I was entering a new part of my life. And if you have any idea of the work of Viktor Frankl, you will understand that you have no friends. You have no enemies. You only have teachers. And if you can wrap your head around that, everything in your life is a gift. Everything in your life is an opportunity to grow in some way. So you have no friends, no enemies, you only have teachers. And when I was in the hospital, I was jacked up on so many painkillers. They put an epidural. That's like the nightmare of mine. Of like when I heard that thing existed, I thought, oh my God, that must be the worst thing in the whole world. And it was. It took this woman half an hour to get it in my spine. It was so bad. So I had an epidural. I had 3 different narcotics and ketamine, and it was still, the pain was insane. The pain was so fucking bad. And Laura, being my angel, she said, James, I get a little emotional with this stuff. She said, James, your heart needed to grow and your body needed to make way. And of course, for me, I just thought, well, you mean like the Grinch, right? So here's the interesting thing. Here's the lesson. Here's pain. So before the accident, I was fearless. Every decision I made in my life was for love or for creativity. I never made decisions based on money. I was fearless and dangerous in my career, took professional chances all the time. Now comes the pain. And I was made to feel something I didn't think I would ever feel in my life. I was made fearful. I was made weak. This arm hung 4 inches lower than this one. All these muscles atrophied, right? So I was presented with a choice. I could do as others do. I could do as you do. I could run from the pain. I could still be on the meds, right? I could say, oh, it's okay. I'll just never play beach volleyball again. That's cool. I don't like that sport anyway. I'll never be able to take my son and put him up on my shoulders. So I could run from the pain, and I could let that pain make my life smaller every day, every week, every year, as most do. Or I could understand that this pain is my teacher, and I need to face it. I need to address it on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, and become bigger and stronger every day, every month, every year. Right? Why do I bring this up? Because it's about you. It's always about you. You too are presented with a choice. I'm in my cruising pain. Unless I brought this up in this talk, you wouldn't know. Unless you asked me to like scratch my ass or pour a heavy thing of beer, you wouldn't know I was in pain. I miss scratching my ass. I'm getting there. So I'm in my cruising pain. That means I can get by. I can, you know, okay, I can't do these things, whatever. You are in your cruising pain. For example, the job that you are not looking forward to going back to. How about this? Here's your cruising pain. That feeling Sunday night when you have to go to work Monday. This is cruising pain. Oh my God, thank God it's Friday. You know, I ask my friends, wildly creative guys, you know, doing interesting work. I say, how's work? They go, eh, it's work. I'm like, fuck. You lose. Here's another cruising pain. How many people have an inability to ask for what they're worth? That's one. Another cruising pain. How about the relationship at home that chafes because you've lost the ability to communicate with your spouse, your partner, right? Fix your shit. Fix your shit. Or this body you woke up with. You know, you wake up and you're like, when did that happen? It must be that donut from last week. Like, right? Because dollars to donuts, what happens if you don't pay attention to these cruising pains of yours, if you don't fix them, they are going to make your life smaller every day, every month, every year. You're going to carry them with you forever. You know, I work with people. People pay me to work through these problems with them. And after like week four or week five, I'm having this conversation. We just did it last week, having this conversation with this guy. And I said, listen, if we have this conversation again, I'm going to fucking fire you. Because you're not doing the work. You're not taking care of this. Fix your shit. Because if you don't, your life is going to get smaller. Right? Dollars to donuts. And listen, as a teacher, I understand my role. And my role is not to tell you anything. I cannot tell you anything. But I can remind you of these beautiful, innate gifts that you were born with. I can remind you of these talents that you exhibit daily. I can remind you of the power of your voice and getting that out into the world and what it feels like. And when you do that properly, when you see others reflected, others' lives reflected in yours, other people using you as an example. I just got this email from a protege from years ago at one workshop I threw. Her name was Lina from Copenhagen. And she wrote me and she said, James, you told me to drop the silly name of my company and use my own name. You told me that in the particular lies the universal. And you told me that I was powerful and I had a voice when I felt lost and worthless. And the next paragraph says, my debut graphic novel illustrating my struggle of being a single mom and a struggling artist just won Copenhagen's number one graphic novel for 2019. And I'm in all the newspapers and women from around the country are writing me and saying I'm an example to them. And I wrote her back and I said, Lina, I didn't do anything. I made some suggestions, and I told you some basic truths. You have to do all the work. You have to do all the work. Fix your shit. So the idea of being a warrior and not a worrier is up to you. Because remember, shit happens. Suffering is a choice. You guys rock. I'm James Victori, and I am out of here. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.